If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. I mean, it's the little things in life that matter, right? I mean, do you enjoy when you're in the shower, like just a great smelling shampoo? It's so luxurious. The only shampoo I enjoy is Way. My favorite is their detox shampoo. It smells so good, okay? I mean, what more do you want in a shampoo? But their anti-dandruff shampoo is amazing. It fights flakes and smooth scalps. They're both great. Their anti-dandruff shampoo is also 100% clinically proven to gently soothe itchy, irritated scalps, which I have. And it helps keep your hair clean and soft. And I mean, like, how embarrassing is it, like, when you're out and your scalp is itching? Way shampoo helps really alleviate all of that. So if you're not using Way, it's time to upgrade today. They also have these awesome scalp serums that hydrate the scalp. I don't know, their website, you got to check it out. There's so much they have to offer. The way to healthy hair this season and beyond starts here. Go to THEOUAI.com and use code VELVETROPE for 15% off your entire purchase. That's THEOUAI.com. Use code VELVETROPE and get 15% off your entire purchase. Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the Velvet Rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the ones, the only Shea Coulee and Tiger Lily.
Hi. Yay. How are you?
How are you guys? What's going on today? Tell me everything.
Oh, doing fabulous. Just trying to stay warm. We had a little bit of a snowstorm in Chicago yesterday. So, you know, just been curled up at home, but got a show tonight. We're doing a little Beyonce Renaissance party. So, you know, can't keep your girl inside too long.
Seriously. Well, listen, we have to start out by saying congratulations. It's Giving Fashion, the new podcast. You guys are talking about fashion and pop culture and street style and red. You guys are covering it all. I mean, how did this podcast come about?
I mean, I feel like me and Tiger Lily have just been talking about fashion for a really long time. That's what bonded us when we met each other back in college, circa like 2009. And so when Sony was wanting to do this project and say something, they were just like, you know, let's like have some fun conversations. And, you know, I just was like, yo, my girl Tiger, we have honestly, like, this is my best friend. We have the best chemistry. So if you want to hear some funny conversations about fashion, like, we're the two to do that for you.
Yes. And we've worked together, like, beyond being friends, we worked together in fashion at multiple costume shops. We've helped each other throughout our careers and, you know, helped Shay get ready for Drag Race and all that. So we've definitely grown together.
Mm-hmm. Everything. Listen, sometimes when you're best friends, that doesn't mean, you know, working together goes well, but I guess you guys have worked together in the past. Like, has it been smooth sailing? I mean, not to be shady right from the beginning, but have there been any disagreements on a podcast? Sometimes podcast hosts don't always get along.
I think we get along pretty well. Like, honestly, I can't even remember ever really being mad at each other, which is crazy. Like, we literally just wrapped a shoot for Shay. Like, I literally was crashing on Shay's couch, seeing each other for 24 hours for the last, like, 4 days straight. And, I missed you.
Yeah. Me too.
So nice to see you.
Yes. Like, honestly, we I think our friendship and our vibe is something that has always been so fun and so positive. Like sometimes to the point where like we annoyed coworkers, but they were just
Yes.
haters of fun in
Yeah, there were
general. So
haters. Yeah.
yeah. But it's just like we've always just had this really just like bright, fun, infectious friendship, and we just like gas each other up and we light each other's flames, and it's just like, you know, a match made in heaven.
Well, you said,
Well,
yeah.
sorry. Well,
So
Shay
sorry.
is an air sign and I'm a fire sign, so together we're like a combustion. So.
Yeah.
What are your guy signs?
Well, I'm a Leo. And
And I'm an Aquarius.
Leo's, I'm a Gemini. Leo's sometimes, yeah,
Work.
Leo's
Yes.
have a lot to say, right?
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. I feel like the other things in my chart help balance me out. So, you know.
But I'm a Gemini and they don't get a great rap either. So there you go.
I know they
I
really
love
don't, but
Geminis.
I love Geminis. Yeah, I feel like
My
they do
mother is a
get.
Gemini. Naomi
Yeah.
Campbell is a Gemini. I don't know. I feel like Geminis are pretty legendary, if you ask me.
Yeah,
Thank
I
you.
agree.
We are fun girls.
Yes.
What about, you know, this podcast is all about fashion. How would you each describe your own personal style?
Oh. Well, I'm definitely inspired by like cartoons, kawaii, camp. I'm definitely inspired by like queer culture, drag queens, pop icons. I like people to smile when they see me, and I love a theme. Like if you give me a theme, I will dress for a theme. You know, that's I love costumes. I love a look. So
Yes. And I mean, honestly, personal style for me is just about like being fun. I like to
yes.
try so many different like versions and styles. Like it really just depends on the mood. And that's why I love collecting clothing because like it's a great way to communicate with people non-verbally. So like I love having a wide array of clothing so I can like really develop my language and communicate to people how I'm feeling.
Are there any like fashion trends now or just fashion moments? Like, what do you guys love in fashion? Any trends you love or things from the past you love?
Ooh, I'm just really loving this resurgence that we're seeing of a lot of Y2K fashions. Because for me at that time, you know, I was like a preteen, and a lot of the things that I saw, you know, celebrities and pop stars wearing were stuff that, like, baby, I couldn't wear, my family couldn't afford. So seeing those things come back into fashion now as an adult, you kind of get to feed that inner child a little bit. And there's something like really healing about that experience. So I love this like resurgence of Y2K fashion because like I'm getting my whole life, honey.
I love
Yes.
it.
And I really like this trend that we're seeing in people upcycling fashion, you know, for like the sustainability. And I've always been like a big thrifter, and it's really about like how you style these pieces or how you add your like own extra flair on there. So, like all over social media, you see people like just taking risks and kind of doing it themselves and like, you know, chopping up these old garments, bringing new life into these things. And I really love that. And you know, you don't necessarily have to be like a professional designer or sewer to do this stuff. So I really love that attitude of just like seeing what works for you, you know?
What about any fashion don'ts? Anything, you know, current or from the past that you're just like, that are your pet peeves? You're like, no, thank you.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
You know, being a plus size girl, seeing the resurgence of all these low rise, you know, booty crack revealing pants. I'm like, can we not? Like, literally, I went to Target the other day and I saw like those booty shorts that are literally like the size of a wide belt hanging up. And I
Wow.
was like, so triggered. Like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God, that's not even a panty on me, you know? So I was just like, okay, like, I get it. There are definitely body shapes that is going to look sickening on, and you live your life. You have your hot girl summer and your little booty shorts, but that was a little trigger. Yeah. Not going to lie.
Ooh, I'm trying to think of like a trend that I am not loving right now. Damn. I'm like, when I'm out and I see people wearing what is it that upsets me?
Oh.
Don't even know.
Like I could see like the booty shorts, that makes sense. And
See, but if you are comfortable in the booty short, like by all means do your thing, let it out. Like I'm all about that, but just for me personally, I could never.
You're like, no, thank you. Listen, who knew Target could be so triggering, right?
Seriously.
We go there for safety.
We go there for safety. Well, I mean, like also on your podcast, you guys have covered, you've already covered like the Golden Globes. You've covered the Grammys so far. Like, do you have a favorite award show? I don't know, and from, you know, just an award show or the fashion at an award show.
I would say for me, it's the VMAs.
Oh, you bitch. I was gonna say.
You could have the same answer.
Yeah.
Yes. So I guess for us, it's the VMAs because the VMAs are like so just like fun, carefree, campy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, it's like a formal event. It's like per se the Oscars, you know?
Yeah. It's more about personal style. Yeah.
Yes. And one thing that I actually really, really loved about this year's Grammys was that I felt like people had so much more fun with their fashion choices and just were a little bit more campy and carefree. And I loved seeing that. I mean, honey, I'm a drag queen. So like, I love turning the look, like, you know, Miss Shania Twain out here in her red wig. I was living.
You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures up my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
I know you guys are all staying up at night worrying about Tom cheating on Ariana. Now he's with Raquel. And what is going to happen on Vanderpump Rules? But we have bigger things to worry about, guys. Like the most convenient way to buy beer, wine, and spirits. Well, listen, I can tell you right now, the most convenient way to buy wine and beer and spirits is Drizly.com or the Drizly app. And they deliver to your front door in under 60 minutes. I mean, don't tell me you're watching Vanderpump Rules with all this going on or listening to this podcast without your drink, right? Drizly is the number one app for alcohol delivery. These things are important to me, and I know they're important to you. And the selection, oh my God, there's never been a specific brand that I've wanted and have gone on and not been able to find it. I love that. And again, delivery to your home in under 60 minutes. Also, I love the value. They shop across multiple stores and compare prices to find you the best deals on what you're looking for. So if you're listening right now and you want some beer, wine, or spirits, download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's Drizly.com.
Yes, that was such a nice surprise.
It was.
I tend to like the award shows where you take more risks than, you know, like you have like the Bjork swan dress. I mean, that was at the Oscars, but like, I'm all about a risk, like the way Cher used to go to the Oscars. I mean, it's like, it's Cher.
Oh, she can,
that's how she dresses. Absolutely. Do you guys have something that sticks out from like a look that was like so classic you loved it, or something that was a risk? I mean, like, I always go back to Bjork swan dress. It just sticks out to me as like,
yeah, that was such like a great, she really was like turning heads in that.
And it's Bjork, so it's like, okay, mm-hmm. This is on brand.
Absolutely. I would say for me, Damn, it really had to be the meat dress. Lady Gaga's meat dress.
Oh,
That just like,
yes.
you know, like we were, everybody was stunned.
Yeah.
Everybody was just like, she is literally just like wearing meat. It was great. It was so great. I loved
Well,
that.
and
Yeah.
what I loved about that is like the PR frenzy that that caused, because of course PETA came out and they were coming for her, and they were like, and then she tried to spin it and be like, well, it was talking about don't ask, don't tell, and how we are seen as meat, and like it was just such a reach. I was like, girl, just you just wanted to wear meat, like come on,
Yeah,
like
stunt on
it
the
was the
kids and the meat.
stunt. Yeah.
Right. You're like, how many PR people sat around a table and came up with that after like 4 days? Yes.
Right. Like,
Yeah. I didn't mean to
But
cut
it
you
was
off.
great.
It was great. What about like, you know, what women stand out as kind of like your best of, you know, these days? Like, who do you think just gets it right? Like, movies, it could be anyone, TV star, movies, TikTokers, actresses. Like, who do you just think has such great fashion?
Zendaya
Hell yeah.
and La Roche, like them together as a duo are just so dynamic. Like I just remember, like it was the Met, Heavenly Bodies, and everybody's coming in these like really like angelic looks, and you know they're just, you know, being just all ethereal. And then she came in that like chainmail Joan
Yes,
of
Joan of
Arc
Arc.
vibe, who, you know, she was burned at the stake for being a witch and like, you know, persecuted and like killed by the church. And it just was such like, it just, for me, I was like, see, that's how you like come in with like a different perspective and like really shake it up on the girls. Like that was like a moment that I really remember being like, okay, damn, like she is like really serious with this. And everything that like I've seen, like it is so rare that I am disappointed in anything that Zendaya wears.
I would have to agree with that. I'll also raise you a Cardi B on a red carpet. She slays it. Like, I feel like Cardi B is what, like, I feel like Zendaya is really loved by all. And Cardi B is kind of like you either love her or you don't really mess with her. But like, her on a red carpet is just absolutely perfection. Like, and she's styled by Colin Carter. I would say most of the time, right?
I'd say
Maybe
probably all the
100% of the time is styled by
time.
Colin Carter, but yeah, that them as a stylist duo is incredible. Always slays. Like at the Grammys, she was definitely my best dress throughout the night in that blue sculptural transparent look. God, she looked phenomenal. So
Sublime.
yeah, she's always one to watch for me. In terms of influencers, though, I really love watching like Bretman Rock, and
Yes.
I just love his style so much because he is like a queer person and just brings so much like joy to fashion, and just is a daredevil and just tries new things and has just become such a style icon. I can't wait to see like where he is in the next 5 years. Like he's really
Absolutely.
blossoming before our eyes.
Do you have any other favorite guys? And yes, that blue on Cardi at the Grammys, I thought I was like, this is a moment. This is truly everything. So
Yes,
good.
yes. Oh, any other guys?
Yeah. Cause the guys I feel like are taking risks these days more and more.
Well, I feel like we have to talk about Sam Smith. I mean, whether or not you love or hate him, he is taking risks on the red carpets, which I appreciate. Like just at the Brit Awards, he was wearing that like inflatable. I don't know who it was by, but it was the inflate. Did you see that one, Shay?
Yeah.
Oh
It
yes.
was like very
It was an
cartoony, almost
inflatable
Oompa Loompa.
latex moment. And yeah, no, they really served it on that red carpet for sure. And I feel like all of the looks that we've seen like them display recently that have been just like so like body positive and just like embracing their like sexuality and like femininity has been really, really fun to watch. I mean, when it comes to, I guess, fashion, if we're going to apply it to, say, men, it really tends to be queer people that I tend to lean to, because they
absolutely,
I feel like fashion as it's prescribed to men is really boring, and it's really only the ones that kind of start to blur those gender lines that I feel mm-hmm. are like interesting dressers. Like, I want someone who is flamboyant, I want someone mm-hmm. who is a dandy, mm-hmm. I just want that gay shit, you know.
Yes!
So
like, yes.
That's what I
totally
really
agree.
Totally agree. Yeah. For me. But then occasionally, you know, a nice tux will look really, really nice on a gentleman. I'll be like, he looks nice, but who wants to look nice?
Yeah, it's still a tuxedo at the end of the day, you know.
I am all about the gay shit. Like, a Billy Porter has done it so well. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like a Harry Styles is probably the one that comes to mind that's doing it pretty well. Or maybe like a Timothée Chalamet.
I would maybe give Miss Chalamet some flowers for sure. And with Harry, it's hit or miss for me. Sometimes I'm like, okay, this look is like really on. And then sometimes I feel like the outfit is wearing him and he's not wearing the outfit.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I feel like we also have to talk about like Pharrell. I mean, he just got appointed as the new like creative director. What is it?
Louis Vuitton.
Yeah. So snaps of Pharrell for that. I'm really excited to see the newest collection. Like, go ahead.
Yeah, and he always is just so cool. I feel like he always does take fashion risks, but he still like stays in his lane. He's very true to himself, but he always looks so. He looks so hot, so cool. Like, he always mm-hmm. brings like this new like freshness to a look. He's got swag for days. So
I was so happy to hear about that. I think him and Louis Vuitton is like a marriage made in heaven. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. Is there, speaking of Louis Vuitton, if you guys could only wear one brand each for the rest of your lives, what would it be? We're doing the heavy hitting questions here today, mm-hmm. people.
Seriously.
If there was one brand that I could wear for the rest of my life, it would probably be Christopher John Rogers.
Good answer.
That would be my brand of choice. Because the clothing is all joyful and happy and carefree and fun. And I just feel like that's what I always like to bring when I go out dressing. So
I would probably have to say Moschino, just because the playfulness, the campiness, every collection is just like cartoon inspired. And, you know, Jeremy Scott always brings something a little different to each collection. And I think about like the handbags that I've splurged on, and they're all Moschino. So, okay, I'll go with Moschino.
Those are good answers. Yeah. What about like, what men and women do you think are the opposite that maybe like need the two of yours help? Like, that just, they have a lot of misses on the red carpet, or misses when they're out for a night and you see pictures and you're like, girl, what are you thinking? Or boys.
Okay. Bless her. It's, I would probably want to get my hands on Kourtney Kardashian. She's like all over the place, and it doesn't ever feel like it's really like landing in a direction that feels like authentic. But then again, like, I don't really know her personally, just based off of her persona. But I just feel like she could, I would help Kourtney. And it's not that it's bad, it's just misguided. And then if there was a man that I could help with, I would probably have to say, I really don't pay attention to them that much.
Okay. If I was going to say a female, it would probably be Chloe. Chloe Bailey, right? That's her last
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because I always just think Chloe and Hallie. But like sometimes she kills it and she looks so sexy. And you know, she's having this renaissance of her own where she's rebranding as this hypersexual person. And like sometimes when she tries to act like, or when she's portraying like I'm mature and I'm grown up, she ends up looking so old lady. So I'm like, it's so weird. Like she's either like sex kitten or like old lady looking too grown, like not too grown, but you know, it's just not the right styling for her. So there's a way to like make her look cool and like sophisticated without being like I'm either covered up or I'm like an old maiden, you know, like we need to get that middle ground in there for her. Like, yeah. And then in terms of men, yeah, I don't really pay that much attention. I do like when I see them on the red carpet, sure. But oh, you know what? I'll say Machine Gun Kelly because I feel like he always is taking like crazy fashion risks, and he would like I personally love those risks that he takes. He would be really fun to style as a client because I feel like I could bring in like a lot of like you know, androgynous things, and he'd be game. You know, like we could game him up a little bit, and he would be totally cool with that. So. He'd be a fun one to style.
He would be fun. What about, do you guys have, I mean, speaking of Kourtney, do you have a favorite dress Kardashian?
I honestly would have to say Kim. Like, I just think she, most of the time she looks really great. I do feel like it's she's on a journey, right? Like ever since like leaving Kanye, she's like trying to find her own voice. And I definitely think she had some misses, but I'm enjoying watching and witnessing this process. Cause like, you know, we've watched her, she never didn't have money, but you know, we watched her from like being kind of this like basic bitch to like her glow up before our eyes. And she's just so sexy, and like seeing her style evolve. And now she's a mom. I don't know. Like she's just really come a long way, and she always gives us something a little different. So I enjoy watching her. I enjoy watching her fashion risks. And yeah.
Yeah. I think honestly of all of them, Kim is the best dressed. Because I think, you know, obviously she's the one that we focus on the most, and similar to what Tiger said, it's because I had to sit back and think about it, because I was just like, okay, like let's really, are we like talking in terms of like personal style or who has had access to the best stylists? And Kim had access to Kanye, who, you know, really honestly completely changed her image and turned her into, you know, a major fashion contender and someone who is setting trends. So her developing her own personal style apart from Kanye has been like a really interesting journey to watch. I still heavily see like his influences of like minimalism there, like on her. So I would love, you know, for maybe Kim to start experimenting with things that are a little bit more maximalist, you know, a little bit more exuberant, a little bit more playful. Like I would just like be really interested and curious to see like what that type of fashion journey of on her would look like.
Totally.
Yeah, like step into Chloe's closet, like let Chloe style you for a day and just see what happens. See what you like.
I am all for that. Yeah. And like not taking anything away from her, but really it was Kanye. I mean, Kanye really, her style, like I think she's on more of an evolution now, but he really stepped it up for her. And I think that's where she learned a lot of what she's now doing. And her which doesn't take anything away from her. You know, look, the It's Giving Fashion podcast. I mean, you're criticizing fashion, you're talking about fashion. You know, I think back to me, the most famous people to do that are really like Joan and Melissa on the carpet, Fashion Police. Like, were you guys like, did you do any research for these new positions of yours? Were you fans of like Fashion Police or like E on the carpets? And like, did you dive deep into the archives to prepare? Or did you just say, turn on the mic and we're best friends, let's go?
Definitely the latter for me. I grew up watching Fashion Police and, you know, shows like what not to wear.
Yes.
And like, I loved that show so, so much. And just have always, we've always had opinions and dialogue about fashion, about what we would see on red carpets. Like, it's just naturally a part of our relationship as friends. So going into this venture and doing this podcast together, it just really felt super easy to go ahead and do it because it was just kind of like second nature already for us.
You know, we have our weekly chats with Kim D, and her seven dogs usually go crazy, and everyone's been asking me, why are her dogs so calm lately? Well, it's because I got Kim an ongoing supply of Nom Nom. Really, true story. And now the woke mob, as she calls them, are much calmer. Listen, Nom Nom delivers fresh dog food with every portion that's personalized to your dog's needs. What I love is it's made with real whole food that you can actually see and recognize. It's not like dog mush, the dog food you're used to serving your dog. And it has no additives, no fillers. And so your dog is actually eating healthier. Personally, selfishly, I'll do anything to keep Kim's dogs quiet while we record every week. The thing that she loves the best are these meals are nutritious. They use board certified nutritionists for dogs that make fresh food that's then shipped free to your door. Nom Nom also comes with a money-back guarantee. So listen, if your dog is not happy within 30 days, they refund your first order. So right now, for 50% off your no-risk two-week trial, go to trynom.com/velvet. That's trynom, N as in Nancy, O as in Oliver, N as in Mary.com/velvet for 50% off. trynom.com/velvet.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. It is second nature. Same thing. I grew up watching all the same shows and everything. You know, when we have like our weeks where we talk about like the Grammys, I will go and prep myself and watch a ton of like YouTube videos about like iconic Grammy moments and stuff like that. So it's like light prep. But I mean, we lived through a lot of this. So like we've been preparing for this our whole lives.
Yes.
Do you guys ever worry? Like, I've had Melissa Rivers on this podcast so many times, and she's very much of the like, you know, she was the executive producer of Fashion Police, but she's like, it can never exist today. And I'm like, well, yeah. Why? Because she's like, you know, because we would criticize people and like with cancel culture, I mean, we just never could say the things we said back then. And I'm like, I don't know if I exactly agree with that, Melissa, but anyway. I mean, do you guys worry about that at all? Like now that you're podcast hosts and criticizing people for their fashion, like, do you worry about cancel culture? Not that you've said anything that you need to.
No, because here's the thing. It's like fashion and style are subjective. So we're just two people who are sharing our opinions. You know, you don't have to necessarily agree with this, with us and what we say, but we just go based off of what we like and don't like. And I don't know, I think it's funny as hell.
You know,
so,
like,
and here's the thing, like, I feel like her and I having experience in college, like in fashion, giving critiques, like our critiques and criticisms, like come from like a place of like fashion, like knowledge and like reference. It's never personal.
Right,
so
yeah.
I think that's what, you know, people just have to keep in mind is that, you know, fashion is subjective. Like people are going to have their opinions about it and we're just going to share ours.
Right. Absolutely. Like the only people that I definitely am more sensitive towards are like the Drag Race girls, just because there is so much, because we do critique like the runways on Drag Race and like just, you know, Shay obviously going through that process and like knowing a lot of these girls that have been on the show, like I definitely have a softer place in my heart for them where I'm like, you know, you're coming from the club, you're coming from like no money, you know, you're coming with a really really tight budget. So it's like, yeah, what you fantasize about what your look for this themed runway may not be what you present. So I definitely say sorry, girl, a lot. And, you know, I do it from a place of love. Like, I'm not like, you know, this is all to help you.
Yes.
Well, speaking of Drag Race, current or past, like, you know, who stands out as some of like the best dressed queens to the two of you?
Shea Coulee.
I mean, obviously, Shea Coulee, of course.
Yes. Definitely love Aquaria, Kimchi.
Hell yeah.
Who else has really served it and turned it on those one? Violet Chachki. I really have. I've really been loving Malaysia Baby Doll this season. Her looks have been like really serving it and like feeding that pageant queen that I love so much. So that has been feeding me. And also, I feel like her being a plus size girl and also being like super like sexy and delivering like really beautiful silhouettes has been fun for me to watch. Who else are some? Oh my God, Raja, like the
Oh,
OG. Like,
Raja,
why
hell
did
yeah,
it take me so long to
the first fashion
hair?
girl.
I
Yes.
know that is so silly of me. I would like to formally apologize to Raja so long
I
to bring
also
up
love
the icon.
Yes, I also love me some Miss Fame, Detox,
Yes.
who else? God, there's literally so many girls that
Simone.
my oh,
Simone.
Simone, hell yeah,
Gigi.
Simone. I mean, Gigi Good,
Taste.
like, yeah, Taste, yes.
Oh my
Ooh.
gosh. And Bimini. We're just like now just starting to like go through the list.
Let's just
Like,
yeah, no, okay, now UK,
the
yeah.
problem is like, oh, like five people. We've like listed like 15.
Oh, just
LOL.
well, what about the opposite? What queens do you think or queen would you like to get your hands on and just say, sorry, girl, as you say, and let's do a little rebrand here. Oh.
Ooh, Tina Burner. I would love
To turn it and
yes,
burn it.
to actually like turn it and burn it for this burner. Because baby, like those looks, and I hope enough time has passed, but
Yeah.
those looks, mama, were they were not giving fashion. They were not. They were taking. They were robbing us of glamour.
On this current season, someone who I think has a lot of cool ideas, it's really about like budget and execution, is Selena S. Titties. I think she has a lot of really cool ideas, and she clearly has like a fun, campy mind. I think she, like, with some time and money, she could really like turn some like really fun looks out, because I really love her point of view, her like LA Chola, style. And I really think she could, she's due for a little makeover. Yeah.
A little makeover. Well, what
Yeah.
about Shay? Listen, you came in fourth two times. You won All Stars. I mean, do you
I
have
got eliminated after Trinity, so technically I came in third.
I stand corrected. I stand corrected.
Trinity got knocked out of the competition first, so I was one of the last three bitches there on season I.
Hell yeah.
A top three is better than top four, right?
Yeah, her and I
Yeah.
always joke about that.
That is funny. I stand corrected. I mean, do you have like a high and a low just from your many times on Drag Race throughout the years? I mean, besides winning, of course.
Yeah, I would honestly have to say that, there are what? How many girls? Three of us that can. Well, no, there's a very select handful of girls who have gone on a Drag Race and done it three times. You know what I'm saying? And it's one of those things where I have like appreciated watching myself grow through these processes. And also just kind of like watch the show in and of itself evolve. Like when we were there for season nine, it was actually the top four, myself, Peppermint, Trinity, and Sasha. And we were there when Rue found out that they won their first Emmy for the show.
Oh.
And to now to now have gone into the process for the third time, and RuPaul had at that point become the most awarded Emmy Award most awarded reality television show host in that category. I just, it's just been really great to be there, when RuPaul won their first Emmy, and then to come back years later and have RuPaul have surpassed and become the most Emmy Award-winning reality television show host was just incredible, because
Yeah.
it has just become such an amazing cultural cornerstone for the queer community. And I'm just really glad that I've been able to be a part of this legacy in such a meaningful way.
Yes.
I agree with all that. Like, I think the fact that, you know, Drag Race is winning Emmys is like beyond incredible. Like, what do you say to, like, because there is that other school of thought that says, you know, now Drag Race panders to the fans and the numbers and it's gone mainstream, whatever that means. And, you know, it's not like the little show that could anymore. And people, a lot of people get upset about that.
Yeah, well, it's just like drag race, just like drag culture has changed. Like they're directly influencing each other. The reactions and the way that, you know, up and coming drag queens who aspire to be on the show are shifting themselves to meet the culture that the show has created has, you know, it's kind of created this interesting vacuum. But as it continues to expand into like pop culture, it's like we're having to try and adjust to pop culture standards, which aren't necessarily aligned with the underground culture that drag really represents. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword in that kind of way. But I feel like representation is really important. We need positive examples of queer people being successful on TV. And I feel like that show is an amazing platform for that.
Mm-hmm. And just like the international platform also, like I remember going to Philippines when I was like 16 years old and it was like not gay friendly. No one was like out of the closet. Like it was just very, you know, conservative. It's a very Catholic country. And, you know, now there's Drag Race Philippines and there's like abundance of like gay clubs and like just people living out loud and like living their truth and getting their whole lives. I'm like, yes, this is what we need. It's so cool. Like I feel like the fandom does come like, oh, another Drag Race franchise. And I'm like, you have no idea what this does as like a cultural shift for like these countries. So that's amazing. That is like the big takeaway from it, I think.
Totally. Do you guys have any favorites from this current season? Anyone you think is going to really kind of go far, maybe take the winning circle, the winner circle?
I've truly been enjoying Sasha, Anitra, Lux, and Mistress Isabel.
Yes. Ooh, I love Mistress. I love everyone.
Little, like,
yeah.
What do you call it? Fantasy football ranking? That's like my top four.
Yes.
Situation.
Oh my God. I would like to throw Spice in there just for funsies. I think she's, this is very challenging for her, especially without her sister there. But like, I love her take on drag and she's so young and she just is so polished and has such great ideas. I don't think she's going to win, but she's going to be legendary to watch on All Stars. So yeah.
Yes.
Throw her in the mix.
I know Sugar and Spice from my New York days, like back in the day, like before they even started the TikTok. So yeah, I have a soft spot for Spice just because I've seen them come so far in like in their journey.
And they have the branding down. I mean, so many queens, they get on this platform and they have to then think about their brand and how they're going to appeal to the masses. And they already have that going on for them. So I'm like, I just can't wait to see what they do after Drag Race.
Where do you guys think Drag Race is now in terms of like, you know, like throughout the years, like RuPaul and Drag Race has been so criticized for like diversity and inclusion. And like, you know, now we've had all, you know, like, where do you think they are now? Like, have they come far? What, anything they should be doing differently?
Yeah, I think they've come so far in terms of inclusion of all different representations of drag. And I feel like, you know, they are out here telling these stories and there's going to be so many more stories that will be told. And it is apparent they listen to the criticisms from the fandom and, you know, have opened up those workroom doors to, you know, anybody who feels like they want to come and give it a shot.
Yeah, I agree. I think they've come a really long way.
What about, like, am I the only one that would be excited about a Drag King spinoff? Is that jumping the shark or should we have a whole nother Drag King show that just RuPaul can run it and the empire can grow? Or is that jumping the shark?
I feel like we could just like bring drag kings into the fold of like the regular program and see the way that they interpret the same runways and like themes. Like, and also we need we need a bearded drag queen up in here. Would love to see that. Just throwing that out there. But yeah, you know, no, I feel like, you know, throw a drag king in there. Well then maybe the best drag queen win would be they would the have best... to do some rewrites. They would have to
yeah,
do some rewrites.
I mean but... I mean they did bring in like I'm thinking about like over the seas franchises, they did have like Danny Beard, who did have a beard. They did have Victoria Scon, a biological woman. And I live for them. I mean, and Victoria Scon actually did a runway as Fabio in drag, like a drag king runway. And everybody got their life. Like it was so iconic. And why shouldn't they be able to do any kind of gender bending? Like gender is over, so you know, just let them perform, let artists be artists and see how they interpret things.
I would agree with that. What about, do you have any advice, Shay, since you have won and came in third and now I'm standing corrected and fourth? Like what advice would you give to all the baby queens out there that, you know, want to come on Drag Race and go really far?
I would say my best advice would be to trust yourself. You know, like you really have to tune into that like inner voice that really tells you, like, you know, you're just intuition. You have to really lean into that, know yourself, trust yourself, and have fun. And I feel like that's just like a recipe for success, because I feel like what people tune in for and look forward to is seeing people come and open themselves up and display their truth and have fun with the art of drag.
That's good advice. Well, you know, a whole nother part of your podcast, It's Giving Fashion, is pop culture. You guys delve into pop culture and you stay current. Like, any pop culture stories keeping you up at night these days? And what are they? You know, like, are you invested in like the Megan Fox, you know, deletes MGK from her Instagram, and then, you know, now.
Okay, right. Because like we saw them at the grid. Okay, let's just talk about that.
Okay, let's.
I'm like, we saw them at the Grammys, and I know that like, he was doing a red carpet interview with Laverne Cox, right? And like he seems like a little nervous, but she was like off camera being like really supportive to him. And I guess like now it kind of makes sense a little bit, but at the time I interpreted it as like she really just wanted for him to like have his moment. And you know, it was just, I wonder if Laverne Cox still has that interview up on her Instagram.
Yeah, because I didn't watch. I'm going to have to watch this now.
Oh, my God. Because Laverne then went back and posted. And she's just like, you know, this was like a really interesting, like vulnerable conversation. And she felt from like what she experienced interviewing him was that, you know, Megan Fox was being like really sweet and supportive, like on the sidelines. But it just felt like she then went and deleted him off Instagram. So was she just like trying to distance herself because like, you know, things were already, you know, going south? I don't know. Like, I immediately started speculating when I saw them, because I was just all like, oh, they seemed so, I don't know, like tame and cute. Like, they weren't licking the inside of each other's mouths, but I felt like they settled into this, like, you know, comfortable couple like rhythm. And there was something about it that seemed comfortable. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I live for the messiness. So, like, if we can get a if we can get a front row seat to like your relationship imploding, by all means, I will take that in and be
seriously.
You get all the tea when you style him, Tiger.
Yes. Ooh.
Seriously, once you get this styling job, just let us know. But I mean, I don't know. I was so for them as a couple. I was so for them. I was like, this makes so much sense to me.
Yes.
If you're leaving Brian Austin Green, it better be for a good reason. It was for a good reason. I'm like, I'm not. What about, you know, all the stuff going on with Britney now? You know, like everyone's saying she's in trouble. I mean, are we worried about Britney Spears?
Always. I'm always worried about Britney and like her social media. Does she still have her comments turned off? Like, you know how the fandom will like be like, oh, she's wearing a red shirt. Like, oh my God, that means help. Or, you know, she has all these like, you know, signals or whatever. And I think the comments, at least the last time I checked her Instagram, they've been turned off. And it is just bizarre. And I'm always worried about Britney. Like, she just is someone that is so easily taken advantage of. And like, you know, she hasn't been able to make her own decisions for how long. So like, maybe she can't even make the right decisions for herself. And maybe she can't tell good people apart from people with bad intentions, you know? So yeah, I'm always worried about her.
Yeah,
I know. What has been done to Britney has just been terrible. And I always am just like wanting the best and just like, sending her out good vibes all the time that, you know, wherever she is and whatever is going on, that hopefully she's being surrounded by at least someone who is fully looking out for her and her best interests.
Do you guys, you know, through your line of work, like you've styled so many people, Tiger Lily, you know, there's so many Drag Race fans out there, Shay, like, do you guys get starstruck? Like, have you ever met someone where you've been starstruck? I mean, we have our good friend, Bob, the drag queen, heading out with my queen, Madonna. Like, I mean, you guys meet, you know, it's like, have you ever met someone where you're just like, wow, or are you past that at this point in the business? And no shade either way. Cause I mean, you know.
Yeah, I definitely, the only time that I've really gotten starstruck was meeting Naomi Campbell. And I'm glad that it was documented on TV because like every other like celebrity that I've ever encountered or come across from, I've been able to be like, you know, fellow human being, fellow person, no reason to like, you know, get to beside myself, but she without a doubt she's everything, and she's not human, she is a goddess. And it was my first time meeting a true goddess like that in person. So I was taken aback for sure.
Oh my God, I'm gonna throw it back to like early Drag Race days. I think it was probably like season 4. And I had been telling Shay, like, you gotta watch Drag Race, you gotta get into it, because I was obsessed with Raja. And she came to Chicago and she was in the same restaurant as us. I was with Shay, we were eating dinner, and Raja comes in, and I totally fangirled on her. And I like didn't have words. And like Raja came over, she like gave me like a kiss on the cheek, and I was like, oh, you know, and I was like, I'll never wash this cheek again. And then Raja walks away and she's like, oh, I'm so hungry. And I literally was like, do you want some calamari? And I was like yelling at her to like come eat my calamari, and Shay was like, oh my God, no, sit down, like Tosh, come on, like. So yeah, that was like high key embarrassing.
Yes, I think that was like my 25th birthday dinner.
Yeah,
when that happened. So. Yeah, that was a night.
And then when I met RuPaul at DragCon that one year, because we were like, I was looking hella busty and crusty. Like, it was not a cute day for me. And then of course RuPaul comes around, and Shay's like, Tosh, I want to introduce you to RuPaul, and I was like, oh, of course, right now, like just looking like hell. And yeah, she was like, don't fangirl on her. And I was like, okay. So I was like so serious and just like kept my distance. Yeah, that was, I was trying to hold
good
it.
Old there, mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Raja, mother. RuPaul, and Naomi Campbell. Those are good.
Yeah. the Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
The Holy Trinity. Are you guys, like, so many people love Drag Race. Like, you know, we talked about the Kardashians. Do you guys have guilty pleasures? Like, do you watch reality TV? Are you into Real Housewives? Like, anything like that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Housewives down boots with the fur. Like, love Housewives.
Oh, yeah. I've always loved trashy reality television. Can't get enough of it. From the Flava Love days and beyond, I've always been hooked.
I actually think Jen Shah is going to prison today.
Yes.
Yeah, she is.
She is. I think she's already there right now, or she was about to be. So yeah. That's, you know, there you go. And for the next 6.5 years, you'll be there. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I say she got off easy, but that's just me, you know.
Be there. Yeah.
Yeah, she did. And I honestly don't think she's going to serve 6.5 years. I think she's probably going to serve like 3, you know, like when it's all said and done, maybe 3.5. I don't know.
I recently I sat down with one of her victims who like was totally scammed. And it was just like, you know, this woman was like the most humble, sweet person. I was like, I can't, like, I'm like a cold New Yorker. Like, it takes a lot to like pull at my heartstrings. Yeah. And I was like, this is just like, I have feelings here. Like, I am alive. I truly have feelings, because it was just one of those interviews. I was like, wow.
I mean, not to throw her under the bus again. Actually, I'm not even throwing her under the bus. The thing that really did it for me, for Jan, is the fact that she had her own mother give up her retirement fund for her legal defense, knowing good and well that she was guilty. The fact that she even scammed her own mother, to me, showed me exactly the type of person that Jin Shah is.
I mean, and on Salt Lake City, they even said, like, she asked her friends for more money. You know, like, so it's like she has no shame.
Yeah. You know, like, knowing how reality TV works. And then I know a lot of these people in real life. You're like, okay, you find the good in everyone, or you meet someone and you're like, I don't care what happened on TV with Jen. Yeah. I'm like, there is something about her that I'm just like, I just have strong feelings, and that never happens. I'm just like,
yeah.
I'm and not it's just feeling the display.
It's the display of like flaunting the wealth too. Like, I remember she hadn't pled guilty yet, but she had this like photo shoot with this diamond company, and she was like literally posting out. Did you guys watch those stories?
Yeah,
she was like in furs and diamonds. And I was like, what the hell? Like, if I was her lawyer, I'd be like, yo, take this down. Like, stop. Like, you're not doing yourself any favors. Like, it's just painting you in such a bad light. Like, you don't care. Like, yeah, it was just not a good look. I was like, girl, have some tact, have some class. Like, yeah, it was just not cute.
What about Lisa Rinna not being on Beverly Hills anymore? Are you guys okay with this? Are you happy? Are you sad?
I'm going to miss her.
Yeah, I think, you know, Lisa, it just like got to a point with the fans where, you know, like, it was just important for like Lisa to take a break, you know, like some girls did. And she even said it at the reunion. She was just all like, you know, put me on a break. Probably just had like a lot going on. So I am interested to see how the dynamic will operate without her. But we all know she'll be back.
Yeah, and she was such a necessary pot stirrer. Like, I feel like she's the one on the cast that producers could be like, hey, Lisa, can you make this happen? And she'd be like, I got you, you know, and she'd stir the pot. But
she always
also
was down to play ball, you know.
Yes. And also, like, Lisa was dealing, and she probably still hasn't dealt with losing her mom. And like, I've lost my mom. The amount of grief is insane. So like, factoring that in, because I do have a heart, and I'm like, she did a lot of stuff that maybe was a little out of character, you know, and like her processing. But I have some sympathy in that aspect for her. So I don't hate her like the fandom does. I'm definitely going to miss her. So, yeah.
I agree. I'm going to miss her. I don't think people realized what she actually did for that show. What about, before we move on from Housewives, what about like Melissa and Teresa? New Jersey is back. Are you over this Melissa versus Teresa? Or are you just like, let's have it. Let's just keep talking about it.
I mean,
I'm a little over it, but I'm always here for Teresa being mad at somebody and holding a grudge, because she's super petty. And like, they're just so Italian with it about the disrespect. And I'm like, I'm so here for it.
I mean, honestly, me too. And I agree, Tosh. It's like, yes, this has been going on for forever. And I guess that just will forever be their storyline, you know, their inability to find harmony with each other as family. But, you know, would we really be entertained if they were getting along?
Right.
It's like, after like this long with both Teresa and Melissa, I feel like if they were to like join forces, like, you know, make amends and then kind of become allies, I feel like, honestly, as a viewer, it would feel weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like, and just boring.
We'd be like, this is, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not. Well, listen, on the It's Giving Fashion podcast, let's bring it back to fashion. Who are the best and worst dressed housewives, according to you two? Like, who are your favorites and who needs some help? I mean,
worst dressed, Teddy Mellencamp. For sure. And I mean, they read her all the time for it. Like, she's just very regular. You know, there's nothing necessarily wrong with her fashions, but it's just very boring and regular.
I would say worst fashion for me would probably, gosh, it's like a toss up, and it's for two different reasons. Mine would be between Gisele Bryant and Crystal from Beverly Hills, because I also feel like her style is hers is like very boring, and like Giselle's is like tacky, you know. So it's like for very different reasons. And then for best dress, like my tie would be between Candace from Potomac and Dorit from Beverly Hills.
Work. I was gonna say Dorit, but Candace, yes, Candace has been serving some looks on Potomac, especially like this season. And her reads, I feel like her reads alone can just elevate her and her look, you know, because she looks, she looks so, it sucks when you're getting read by someone who looks stunning. You know, you're like, God damn it, I can't even say anything.
Candace is literally drop dead gorgeous. I would agree with that. And Dorit's style for me is like very, I'm all about it, you know.
Love it.
Maybe a Sutton would, like, she's not like, Sutton's not really my style, but it is such high fashion, and there's risk that I also put Sutton in like my best dress, even though I wouldn't necessarily wear the everything she wears.
Agreed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But and I think she's a great sense of personal style for sure.
Yeah, and I guess I'd throw Erica in there also, just because she does take risks and she always serves a look. I feel like when Erica got on Housewives, that was really when the rest of the Housewives were like, oh, like we can serve looks. Like, okay, cool. And they really started like amping their game up. And sometimes she does have misses, like some of her confessional looks, and you know, and she obviously had a really hard last couple of years. But like she does have some really iconic fashion choices that she has shown us throughout the years.
Have you guys seen that tea about the LA Times article with everything that happened with Marco Marco?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Girl.
Yes.
Now that, gosh, the way that these things keep getting revealed about this whole process is it is so crazy.
I've defended Erica at times, and when I read that, because I was just like, does she really, and then when I read that, I was like, no, this is really like not a helpful set of facts for her case that she's innocent.
Yeah,
how much was it, like 700,000 or something? Crazy.
And then Tom got it refunded to their Amex because, like, they said that that was what Marco overcharged. But when they went back through their bank statements of, like, all the, like, records and everything that they had, like, kept, because they had been instructed to just charge things to the card and not give invoices, you know? But they still kind of kept these records. And, like, there was, like, a discrepancy maybe of, like, $60,000, but not $700,000. And because like Tom was who he was, and he had links to like a friend in the Secret Service, they were like basically able to get Amex to like give him that money back without launching a formal investigation of their own, which Amex always does. So then they were out of the tune of $700,000 for like these charges that they alleged that Marco Marco had made. But then they, like, Marco Marco was indicted, on like charges for like fraud and all of this stuff, and got raided out in front of like World of Wonder headquarters because they're right across the street, and they're like next door to you, and all this like shit went down with, and it's just been like, I was reading excerpts from it yesterday, and it just sounded all so horrible. And it's just like, can you imagine being a, you know, independent designer like this who does costumes, and one of your best clients for years, all of a sudden just like completely like turns on you and like, you know, completely flips your world upside down? It's just insane.
Okay, I'd like to change my answer on behalf of Marco Marco and small designers everywhere. Erica, you are off the best dress list.
Off
bitch.
The best dress list. You could put like Heather Dubrow on there. I love a like, and that's I love a rich bitch label.
Yeah. To,
like, if you want to wear 12 different Louis Vuittons or Gucci's, wear all G's or LV's, I am so here for it.
Oh, I would throw Lisa Barlow as an honorable mention. Her style this season has really been amped
up. I do like Lisa Barlow's style too. And I just love Lisa Barlow.
Yeah, same.
We love her. And the other thing about that Erica story too, before we wrap up, is like Tom had this Secret Service person because it's like, the guy hired him to sue for some like faulty car or whatever. And and it was all, the judge was like, told Tom he was being shady or whatever. And the guy ultimately got thrown out of court. But then Tom gave him $7,500 and is like, listen, here's the money you would have made. I'm just going to pay you. I mean, so you're like, you're basically giving him this money, even though he lost, so that you could have a Secret Service guy at your disposal in the future. Like, it's almost like a date. That was the fact that I'm like, man, like you crossed every T and dotted every I, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought? Anything else you guys want to cover, Shay? I know you're going out on with Betty Who. You're going to play some shows. Tiger Lily told me she was going to be in New York to see these shows. Like, let's give a shout out to that. We love Betty Who.
We do. Yeah, I'm so excited to be opening up for Betty Who on the big tour. My first show is in Phoenix on the 28th. So we're just like getting ready for that. And then we'll be on tour with her until April 1st. Our last show is in Los Angeles. So I'm just really excited to get out there. My debut album comes out next week. So we're going to be performing all of that on the big tour. So I'm just like wrapping all of this up and just getting ready to get out on the road and have some fun and entertain people.
I love it. Anything you want to conclude with, Tiger Lily? I like to give people a chance at the end to say whatever they would like. Thank you guys for answering all my questions.
Of course. I mean, just tune into It's Giving Fashion every Thursday, wherever you stream your podcast. You can listen to Shay and I kiki about silly things and fashion.
It is great. I cannot get enough of it. Pop culture, fashion, award shows, street style, everything. So it's a great podcast. Everyone needs to listen. Everyone who's listening to this should be listening to that because it's so good. And you guys can come back anytime you want. We'll do a check-in, like, you know, anytime you guys want. You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
Have fun on tour. Congratulations on everything. And we will keep in touch.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Talk to you guys later. Bye. Bye. Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.